Okay, hello everybody and welcome to our Golf Only Better Masters Preview Podcast. Cannot wait for this week and delighted to be joined once again by Ben Coley from Sporting Life and Dave Tindall, Betfair's expert golf tipster. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Hi Sarah. Hi Dave.
It is the first major of the year. We've waited a long time for the Masters at Augusta National. Look, it always kind of sets the scene, doesn't it, as far as the golfing season is concerned. Scottie Scheffler goes in as the overwhelming favourite, but interestingly, no favourite has won at the Masters since Tiger in 2005. A lot of talk as ever, of course, about Jon Rahm, the defending champion. And Rory McIlroy, will he finally achieve that career Grand Slam? But let's start, Ben, first of all, with Scottie Scheffler. A lot of people cannot see past Scottie Scheffler, given the incredible run of form that he's been on and those tee to green and approach play statistics, which are just quite honestly phenomenal in the world of golf right now. So a lot of people can't see past him. Can you?
Yeah, I think so. I would say if you can't see past him, you probably don't watch enough golf. It's a very, very difficult sport. You know, he's sort of, Price says he'd win this sort of once in five. Well, historically, there's only one player ever who has won tournaments at a better strike rate than that. Now, we are talking about potentially the best player since Tiger Woods. I think he's probably now established himself as that. I suppose the one thing he's not done is multiple majors. He is still on one, which for a player of his ability isn't enough. He has to go and win more of them. But look, he's got a great game for Augusta. I think his iron play in particular and his control of distance and his pragmatism, that sense that he's playing to the right side of the flag and he's playing the percentages better than anybody else. As Rory McIlroy's alluded to, actually, that it's taken him time to realise that pars are really good and you have to just play chess. And Scheffler does that automatically, whereas for Rory, it's a departure from how he likes to play the game. So that tells you why he's so effective at Augusta. It tells you why he's the best player in the world. And it tells you why he's the man to beat. But I think we're in the wrong game if we're not trying to get him beat at 4-1 anyway.
Dave, for you, what's the case for Scottie winning his second green jacket? What's the case against him?
Yeah, I think the case for him is that it does seem to be a bit of a pattern, I think, that you win them every other year. I can see why defending champions don't appear because all that kerfuffle with the champions' dinner, just more heat on them. But if you look at Phil Mickelson, he won it, didn't win the next year, then came back and won it the year after that. There's a two-year gap between Bubba's wins as well. Bubba clearly couldn't handle the sort of pressure of being defending champion, but he came back and won it when the pressure was off again. You even go back as far as Arnold Palmer, who won it, I think, 60, 62, 64. It just seems to be a thing that don't back them the year after they've won it because it's too much. But then when there's a bit less focus, although is there less focus on Scheffler? I'm not so sure. Then, but I think in terms of the timing, it's right. Although you're going to tell us something soon that might just throw a spanner in the works, Sarah. But yeah, in terms of his game, it's perfect for this. He's never been outside the top 20 in the Masters. His play is unbelievable. The putter, which kind of holds him back, that looks to be sorted to some degree. Whether it'll hold up on day four of the Masters, we'll have to see. But it does look better. And as Ben said, his long game, his accuracy, kind of his pragmatism, it's all a great fit for Scheffler. He is the man to beat, clearly, for me. This is a betting podcast, though. So is he a good bet at 4-1? I'm not so sure. If I had him at 8s from maybe around Christmas, I'd be delighted, but I'm not sure I would play him now at that price.
Yeah. Yeah, my only point, the point you alluded to there, Dave, just that his wife, Meredith, is due in about 3 weeks' time. She's not at Augusta National. And I just wonder whether there's going to be any hint of distraction at all as he obviously looks forward to the birth of his first child, but we shall see. Ben, Jon Rahm, as Nick Faldo said on a recent podcast, he's been playing in shorts with his mates in front of some blaring music for the last few months. Will he be ready for the test of Augusta National? What's your take on how Jon Rahm, the defending champion, will go this year?
I hope so, yeah. I make him the best bet among the big three. Now, immediately, I've got to answer the question as to how it's going to be different for Jon Rahm when so many people have tried to defend this and failed. It's a really fair point. It's a point I've made before. But I look back and all the great players, or at least most of the great players, if they didn't win, they very, very nearly did. Tom Watson, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, they all were very close to winning. And Jordan Spieth should have won. And I don't think Jordan Spieth didn't win because he was the defending champion. He didn't win because he hit a bad shot on the 12th hole on Sunday. Scheffler, if you go back and look at the stats from last year, okay, you can make the argument that 10th place is about what you'd expect as a defending champion. You can also make the argument that actually he hit it pretty much the same as the year before. He just didn't hole any putts, which is kind of what he had been doing or did throughout 2023. So as for Rahm, I do accept it's a bit of a negative, but I think in markets that are so mature as the Masters one, it's very rare that you get a player who you're getting sort of compensated for a perceived negative. And it's sort of, he was 14 to 1 on the exchange on Monday, very, very close to the price of a Xander Schauffele. And just by way of context, that's double the odds almost that he won this tournament at last year. Last year, we had that to answer. He had to go and show he could win the Masters. And he comes back at twice the price. And again, for context, when Scheffler won this, he was 16 to 1. He came back and he was the 13 to 2 favourite. So why would Rahm double in price when Scheffler's halved in price for the same challenge? And I think pretty much the reason is that he's on the LIV Golf circuit. And as someone who's not a fan of the format and has some serious concerns about the way golf is heading, still have to acknowledge that there are some very good golfers there. And I think probably for me, I can give him the benefit of the doubt having not won. I thought he would have won by now. But they're playing over 54 holes. And had they been playing over 72 holes, given that he's been very, very close in each of his tournaments so far, I suspect he probably would have won. So I'm making some excuses. I'm making some allowances for this reason that maybe he'll be the first player since Nick Faldo to successfully defend at the first time of asking. But the greatest players can do it. I'm certain of that. This is not Bubba Watson. It's not Adam Scott. It's John Rahm. He is, for me, the second best player in golf, and he should be the second favourite. So notwithstanding those little concerns, I'm pretty hopeful that he'll be raring to go.
Good stuff. And in terms of that sort of top three at the top of the market, Dave, Rory McIlroy, of course, he heads to Augusta again, trying to chase that elusive career Grand Slam, but he's only just recorded one top 10 on the PGA Tour this year. And that came in Texas at the weekend, finished third, but he was never within a hint, never within a sniff of winning the Valero Texas Open. Rory goes into Augusta National for you with what kind of chance of slipping on that first green jacket?
It's quite odd that I quite like the fact that he's not very bullish in terms of how he's going to play. he was sort of bigging up the fact that he was not making bogeys last week. And I actually checked, he climbed 65 places up the bogey avoidance chart. So he clearly did limit the mistakes. It's kind of the pennies took a long time to drop. I thought for a long time, he just thought he could win there by eagling 13 and 15 and just going mad and taking the course apart. And I think it's taken a while for him to mature and realize you can't just do that. So I think he's just trying to kind of avoid the big number, isn't he? He said his the destructive shot for Rory at Augusta is left, which it is for all players at Augusta when you pull it left, there's loads of trouble. So he was saying his miss now has gone a little bit to the right, which helps. So, yeah, in a funny way, it's not quite the everyone look at Rory show this week, is it? You've got Scheffler to look at. You've got the curiosity of Rahm coming back from LIV. By the just on Rahm, by the way, I know Ben said it's very hard for players to win back to back. I just think it's hard for. I think a lot has to go your way to win it twice in a row, and for Spieth it didn't. I mean, look at the players who've done it. So Tiger and Jack Nicklaus, the two greatest players in the game. The other one is Faldo. Faldo only won one of those because Scott Hoke missed a 2-foot putt. So you have to have a load go your way. And I think Rahm's going to be a value loser. I'd back him each way. I think he'll come top five, but I just think someone or a couple of players will pick him off. And maybe one of those will be Rory.
Yeah. Ben, I know you got something to add on Rory. Little Rory stat.
Yeah, well, first of all, I hope more than anybody that Rory McIlroy does beat John Rahm to win the Masters. If there's one tournament I'm very happy being completely wrong about, it is this one if Rory wins. I think there are loads of different statistics you can pull out. Justin Ray had a great one about how he's completely dominated the par fives and he's been pretty awful on the threes and fours. Dominating the par fives is one part of the sort of puzzle. You've got to do the threes and fours as well. But for me, hitting greens is a bit of an old-fashioned statistic. And when you say, oh, greens in regulation now, people sort of immediately, oh, hold on a minute. I don't know if you know, but we've got some better statistics now. Well, in the Masters, it's a really good one. Every champion here since Charles Schwartzel, except for Patrick Reed, was in the top 10 for greens, right? So it's almost a prerequisite. And there's a reason for that. When you miss a green at Augusta, you're not usually a foot off the green, which is why that statistic doesn't really always tell us everything. You usually roll down a hill and you've got a really difficult chip shot, or you're in a bunker. Rory's ranked in the top 30. This is a very small field, once in the last 7 years. He needs to hit more greens. And if he doesn't do that, I think it's very hard. He cannot lean on his short game because he does miss short putts, even though he's very good around the green. So that's got to be the thing for me. Like, if I was advising him, which seems unlikely, I would just pick more sensible targets and hit the green, be putting for birdie. And if he does that, maybe he'll figure it out. But only one player has needed more tries to win the Masters, and that was Sergio Garcia. So history is against him, but I won't stop believing anyway.
Yeah, likewise. That's a great stat as well. And, you know, obviously, the well-documented has just been to see Butch Harmon. And he just said, you know, I'm hitting my drive on my woods great. He's got the lefts with his irons. You know, we saw that in Texas. I mean, he's missing so many wedge shots, missing so many greens with his wedge shots, hitting so many irons left. And there was signs of an improvement on Sunday. But a lot of people, I think, agree that he just hasn't, he's not playing well enough. And yeah, that is a really good stat, Ben. Love that. Anyway, let's move on to the betting and the Betfair offer. Betfair paying 8, 10 or 12 places this year for the Masters on each way bets. So basically you choose how many places, with prices changing accordingly. Now, Dave, when we're looking at that for the each way 8, 10, 12 places, what's a good tactic to try and sort of try and achieve your targets here for this week?
But for me, it's kind of quite specific to the golfer in question. So, for example, Will Zalatoris, obviously in those markets, for the 8 places, you're getting a bigger price than the 10 and the 12. So whether you can think they, you know, you don't, do you need to go to 10 and 12? So Will Zalatoris has had a load of good finishes in majors. They've all been top eights. So for me, the 6 of them, 3 of those seconds, I wouldn't feel that I would need to go beyond 8. I'd take that bigger price on 8. Well, I remember a couple of years ago in the US Open, I tipped Seamus Power in the 12 market because I thought, oh, 8 seems quite a bit of a stretch for old Seamus there, even 10. So I'll take the 12 as a bit of kind of insurance.
Ben, what about you? What are your tactics? How do you play those markets for 8, 10 and 12 places?
Generally speaking, I go bigger price, to be honest with you. But I think basically the further down the odds board you're going, then the more inclined you'd be to look at those 12 places. One of my selections this week, Siwoo Kim, his best Masters finish is 12th. The year I've tipped him previously in 2021, he finished 12th and I had him 11 places. So I'm sure everybody who bets on the majors and takes these enhanced place terms has got their own memories of being just the wrong side or even the right side of it. But look, if you're going at a bigger price, I think the Masters is very seldom won by a player at bigger than 100-1. If you are backing that kind of player, you're probably already thinking, well, Scheffler's going to be in the top 10. Schauffele's going to be in the top 10. Spieth's going to be in the top 10. All of a sudden, you're not actually playing with as many places as you thought. And maybe taking 12 would be the way to go with a genuine outsider. Someone like Gary Woodland, for instance, who was just outside the top 12 last year and has found a bit of form. But yeah, my selections this year happen to be towards the top end of the market, in which case I'd be going exchanges in some cases. So Rahm being the best example, or 8 places with someone like Jordan Spieth.
Okay. So let's just pick up then on some of those, more of those each way bets. Dave, back to you on this. Let's look at that. Who have you selected in that market, 8, 10 or 12 for those each ways?
So for 8, I've gone Zalatoris, from what I kind of just said. Second and 6 in the Masters. His very recent form is just tailed off a bit, but I fell into this trap with Rahm last year. Rahm just cooled off a little bit before last year's Masters, but he had a good bunker form before then. And so with Zalatoris, I think he's made for the majors. He likes hard courses, basically. Second and 6 in your first 2 Masters. I think if you kind of take to it straight away, then you're kind of set for life, really, or a number of good years. So I think he can keep playing well there. So Zalatoris is 25-1 in the 8 places. For the 10, I quite like Russell Henley. I think he is a proven Masters performer. He's from Georgia, so he's a local lad. He used to come there as a kid. So he was fourth in Houston, sorry, in Texas last week. He's got quite a few fourth places this season. He was fourth in last year's Masters, which built on 11th and 15th as well in previous years. So he's 55, 10 places, Russell Henley. I think he's kind of one of these who we, I don't know, maybe we think, oh, well, he's not a huge hitter. But he, I'm not saying he'll win. I think he could contend, but I think as an each way bet, I think he's a really nice one. So those are my two kind of solid each way bets, Zalatoris and Henley.
I'm all over Henley with you, Dave. The 10 places are 55 to 1, 8, 60 to 1, or the 12, 45 to 1. As you said, great finish at the Masters last year. Three top fives on the PGA Tour this season. And yeah, from Georgia, I think he's got an unbelievable chance. So yeah, he's one of my picks. Ben, what about you for those each way places?
So Tony Finau's 40 to 1 with the sports book as we chat now with eight places. He's got an excellent Masters record, hasn't yet missed a cut here, hasn't really been close to missing the cut. He's spoken about how much he loves the course. And look, anybody you ask who's played Augusta, I don't think many people, bar maybe Tyrrell Hatton or Sergio Garcia 10 years ago, will say, actually, no, it's overrated. I don't like it. But Tony has spoken about how it encourages you to shake the ball and how that's how he likes to play the game. I think for me, he's probably the most underrated or one of the most underrated iron players in golf. I think he's always known for being this prodigiously long hitter, obviously, who's got more in the locker if he needs it. But over the last few years, he's climbed to genuine elite status with his iron play. You won't find many who have been as consistently among the top 12 or 15 on the PGA Tour over the last 3 years as he is. The missing piece of the puzzle is the putter. And when it sort of came alive for 18 months, he started winning tournaments. His major performances have kind of gone the other way, but that's why we're getting the price we are. He was quite a lot shorter last year, and he has been as short as 16, 18 to 1 for majors in the past. I think 40 to 1 after finishing runner-up last time in Houston, which is a nice little preparation, I think. It's got steep runoffs, wide fairways. Dustin Johnson played well in Houston before he won the Masters. Scottie Scheffler has contended for that event as well. I think it's a pretty good test in terms of gearing up for Augusta. If he putts okay, I think Tony Finau will be thereabouts. And I just must mention Joaquin Niemann. I think in some ways he's the hardest player to price here, because you've got the fact that he's been the dominant player on the LIV Golf Tour versus the fact that he's not contended for a major. I don't necessarily think the latter's that big a worry. I think back to Wyndham Clark last year, just at the very top of his game. Didn't matter that he'd never contended for a major. He was used to being in the mix. He just won the biggest title of his career. That's kind of the trajectory Niemann's been on. And if you look at his form, a win at Riviera, second at Kapalua, they, for me, are the best two comparable courses. And he played well at the Masters last year. I just think he's ready to go and show that what he's been doing is not sort of asterisked, if I can borrow that word. He is playing to an elite standard. DataGolf have him the seventh best player in the world. I think you can make a case he's in the top five, actually. Niemann, I tipped him when he played in the Masters a couple of years ago and started well, and he's come a long way since.
And Niemann, what I'm looking at his odds now. So 22 to 1, eight places?
Yeah, 22 to 1. I'm very happy with that. Very happy with that. I think, you know, if he can get off to a good start, he'll be practicing with Sergio, I think. He's played with Tiger Woods here as well a couple of years ago and shot 69 in the first round alongside him. So he's done loads of little things apart from, the only thing he's not done is contended for a major, and he must be ready to do that soon, and hopefully it's this week.
Excellent, good stuff. Right, Dave's trends. Obviously released your article, Dave. Just talk us through who came out top of the standings with your trends piece ahead of this year's Masters.
Yeah, so as usual, I've gone through the last 10 years, the last 10 Masters, looking at age, world ranking, Masters appearances, best Masters finish, whether you've got the game for Augusta statistically, whether you're the defending champion, don't want to be that. Recent form, winning form this year, which is quite a good pointer. Seven of the last 10 Masters champions had won in the same season. Recent major form, which is always a good one. Nine of the last 10 Masters winners had had a top six in the previous 2 years in a major. And then last year's finish as well. It seems to be that if you don't have a particularly good finish the year before, you do well the next year, whether you're more motivation or something like that. The one that people picked up on, I put this out on X, Twitter, and it's a fair point. I did welcome comments, whether they be rude or constructive or whatever. But a few people, quite politely actually, talked about, well, one wasn't very polite, but one, they talked about the world rankings are now kind of gone to pot because of Liv not getting any points, which can be highlighted by the fact that Dustin Johnson, I had to check this. I didn't realise how badly that they've gone. He's world number 327. That's astonishing, isn't it? And maybe in hindsight, maybe for future majors, I will use the data golf rankings that Ben touched on, which got Neiman in seventh. Obviously, they're taking more into account what's going on there. By the way, Neiman, I can't work out if 22s is a good price or a terrible price, because I know Ben mentioned Wyndham Clark. Well, Wyndham Clark went off about 80s, didn't he, or something?
Yeah, so he did. Absolutely, yeah.
You're asking me to take 22-1 on a guy who's never even contended in a major. So he's a great player, but that would put me off. So he's obviously not going to score very well on trends like this, and neither is Clark, and neither is Ludvig Åberg, because they're playing in their first Masters. So as we know, we all know the stat, don't we? We were told, I presume you've told your little one, Sarah, already, that no Masters winner has won since 1979. One of the first timers won since 1979. One of the first facts you need to know as a child.
I've told him that. He knows all the golf stats, Dave. Don't you worry about that.
Absolutely. So when you put all these points in, so if something has happened eight times and it fits to you, then you get 8 points and it sort of goes like that. So I published this last Wednesday, actually, and the winner or the top point scorer was Hideki Matsuyama, and I was delighted by that because I don't try and manipulate it. I just put them in and see what comes out. And I think he's going to win, basically, without my trends, him or Scheffler. So he came out on top, but there was scope for events in Texas to change as well. So McIlroy hadn't scored very well on the form category because he just hadn't had any on the PGA Tour this year, hadn't had a top 15. And he played pretty well, didn't he, in Texas to get third. So he bumped up. So the very latest standings, and they won't change now, is Matsuyama and McIlroy, a joint top. So they're the two. They're just in front of Scheffler. So I'm quite pleased they've come out like that, because I think, pleased with that. Matsuyama won at Riviera, which is a great pointer for a Masters winner. Scheffler in third. They're just beneath him and McIlroy. Maybe the surprising one, this is quite an interesting one, because I couldn't necessarily see it. Tommy Fleetwood is fourth. I don't think we've talked about him yet. And I'm not really seeing him mentioned in many previews this week, but Tommy Fleetwood could just be a bit of a dark horse each way fancy there. But Matsuyama and McIlroy will be the ones I'm doing. Matsuyama was 25-1 on the sports, but when I put this preview out, that's gone. He's down to 16s now, but you can back him at 24 on the exchange. And because I think he'll win, I'm happy just to do that straight on the nose, Matsuyama to win. And again, it's just that, he's not the defending champion. He's had a bit of a gap. I think Seve had a 3-year gap, so Matsuyama will be in good company there. Matsuyama, he's the one that's kind of the trends player. But Rory backers will be quite pleased to know that he's come out joint top as well. And a couple of years ago, Rory did come out joint top in this trends piece, and he finished second. So maybe this is a good year for him.
Yeah, so listen to Dave's trends, the analysis on the trends piece, and don't listen to Ben's stat about the approach play at Augusta National over the years. Ben, I'm going to come back to you. We're rattling through this. Still a few other names to pick up. Fleetwood, by the way, 40-1, 8 places, 33s with 10. Yeah, just coming sort of, Ben, back to the top of the market, a couple of other names that obviously Dave's gone big on, Matsuyama. We've touched on Scheffler, McIlroy and Rahm. What about, say, a Brooks Koepka or a Xander Schauffele?
Yeah, Schauffele's as solid as they come. I do think there's been maybe a little smoke and mirrors with his recent form. You know, you can take a positive view of it, definitely. He's one of the form players. He definitely let slip the Players' Championship, and I think it's a reasonable criticism. I'm usually fairly generous towards players and their perceived lack of ability to get over the line. Xander Schauffele has won a lot of golf tournaments. He's played in Ryder Cups. He's contended for majors. He's an Olympic gold medalist. I'm not here to crab him as such, but I do think he should have two or three more titles in the locker. That would be the one criticism. And he's also working on some swing changes with Chris Kohmer. And that just, you know, he's been putting really well. I just kind of felt, Yeah, it looks good on the surface, but when you dig beneath, I'm not so sure. With regards to Brooks, the only thing I would say, he's won five times in major championships in the last 7 years. So the one thing I would say that I don't think gets talked about, I think it's assumed that Brooks Koepka can go and win any major championship because that's what he does. As he gets closer to that Grand Slam, might it be that it gets harder? And might it be that Augusta is actually the hardest one for him? Because I do think it is the most significant major for a player like Koepka, for most players, actually, save for a few Europeans who might put the Open ahead of it. You know, you get that lifetime pass to come back. And yeah, I think his performance in the final round last year, you can say that, well, he'd not done it for a while and then he figured it out and he went and won the USPGA. I think it's a lot easier for him to win a USPGA. And given that his form has not been great in the immediate past, I was very happy to go against him. But obviously, that's been a fairly costly policy in the past.
Dave, what about for you? Anyone near the top of the market who is worth a selection? Or what about maybe some long shots or some of the side markets you'd like to reflect on?
Yeah, so we've covered most of them, I guess. Jordan Spieth is an interesting one because you just feel he... You know, he was sort of born to play Augusta. I do get the feeling maybe it's a long time now since he won, isn't it? I was looking back to see, you know, the biggest gaps. And obviously, Tiger's got a big gap. But Langer, I think, was 7 years. There seemed to be a big gap between his two wins. But it was seven. I think Alathabal, it was 5 years. It's going on a bit, isn't it, for John? I know he's still a young man and everything. But I don't know, but... Maybe you develop battle scars after so long. He came here fresh-faced, you know, nothing to lose, just absolutely freed up to do anything, second and first. Now he's had a few sort of bad experiences. I think he can run into a place, but I don't see him as the winner, so that would be that. I think old Ludwig, I think he'll finish in the top 10, but I don't think he'll win. I think this will be kind of like his base camp year. And he could kick on and win it. Ben's mentioned Finau, who I quite like. Koepka's interesting because I do wonder with, and this applies to all the LIV golfers, they did really well last year, didn't they? Mickelson, Reed, Koepka. But they hadn't been on LIV that long, have they? Maybe a 2 years into LIV, it's diluted them a little bit. So maybe, like, Rahm's only just gone over, so he's only just started playing in a less competitive tour. I think we can agree it's less competitive, can't we? Surely.
Yeah.
And I think 2 years of it, maybe Kep can't just turn it on as easily if he's been playing, I don't know how to describe, knockabout. It's not knockabout golf, is it?
But exhibition golf, Dave.
Not the same, is it? It's not the same. So I do wonder whether the more you play over in the slight wilderness, can you just turn up at majors and turn it on? We shall see. One other one I've looked at, and I think Ben might like him, Shane Lowry. Seems to have all the attributes. If he puts well, you can just see he's got the sort of creativity, sees the lines and everything. The Open champions and Masters champions tend to go hand in hand a bit. They're the only majors Faldo won, probably because of the creativity. And a massive price, I'd quite like Adam Hadwin. I tipped him at 200-1 in the 12 player market, which seemed a good price. And he's been cut quite a bit since, but he's certainly one who you think, well, I can't see him winning it, but 12th, he's got a lot of good form this year, Adam Hadwin. And I read some quotes from a few years ago where he said he loves to work it both ways and he just feels the golf course suits him. I didn't really expect to read that from him. I just thought I could have easily have gone into his quotes and said, well, this is very hard, isn't it? I'm not sure. But he seems to really like it. So on his form, he could play well at a massive price. So yeah, quite a few there. And Neiman, the other one. I'm a no on Neiman. I just need a bit more evidence, I think.
Okay, good stuff. I was just looking. Yeah, I'm on Shane Lowry, 33-1 for 8 places. I think that's a really solid bet. I think he's obviously had some good finishes this year and a very good Masters record. So I really like Shane as well. Ben, what about you? Any other fancies this week? Maybe a couple of the side markets and maybe a little long range shot as well.
Yeah, there wasn't anyone at massive odds I was that interested in. I looked twice at Torbjörn Olesen, who's made all three cuts at Augusta, has a top 10. one of the, I mentioned greens and regulation earlier. One of the really interesting things, you go back, so many champions have hit a lot of greens on their previous visit. Garcia, Bubba Watson, I think Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, I think, had ranked first or second in greens hit on his Augusta debut. They sort of drop that hint that they can solve that piece of the puzzle, and it's such an important piece. And Olsson has done that. I think in three appearances, he's twice been in the top 10 for greens in regulation. So given the timing of his back to form 14th last week, I was really interested in him at first. He's a winner this year. So you sort of look at all the things that Dave's mentioned about, you know, trends and the profile of a winner. He actually kind of does tick a lot of boxes, and he's sort of contended for a major. He was a bit of a backdoor top 10 here, but he was in the mix a long time ago in an open, I think maybe 2013. So we'll see how he gets on. He'd probably be my pick of the outsiders, but he didn't make my staking plan. Someone who did is Siwoo Kim, who I think if you took away the name and put his numbers in front of someone, they might think it's someone like Tony Finau, actually, or Ludvig Åberg or someone like that. He's playing to a seriously high level. And he's not putting well, but we kind of know that. But if you look at his stat, even some of the sort of further into the weeds stats, his bogey avoidance, his three putt avoidance, everything looks really good. The one thing that is problematic is that it's Siwoo Kim, who, when I tipped him 3 years ago, wound up putting with his three wood for a couple of hours at a time when he was actually in contention, which was quite hard to watch. So we'll see how he gets on, but I think he's probably never been better in terms of his long game. And he is the youngest winner of the players. He has got, you know, when we saw him in the President's Cup a couple of years ago, he's got that big time. Was it maybe Justin Thomas he was up against? And he really served it to him on the Sunday. So I like Siwoo Kim, and I think he'll go really, really well. Do you want my specials bet, Sarah, or do you want me to pause for breath? Because I've been talking too much.
No. Specials, please. Go ahead.
There are two that I'm interested in. One is Christo Lamprecht for top amateur. He's been cut already, but if you can get 2-1 or bigger, I think it's a bet. If you rewind to last year, Gordon Sargent opened at about 5-2, and he was backed into 5-4. It was an enormous gamble. He was the world number one amateur at the time. And if you go back, it's easy now, but Sam Bennett ended up being the top amateur. He was ranked 6th. So it's not like Sargent had a bunch of mugs in with him. He had one of the other best amateurs in the world. Well, Lamprecht, he hasn't got mugs, but he's got fewer to beat. And the next best is Stuart Hagerstad, who's been around a long time. He's a mid-am. He's not the top level of amateur golf. And then you've got some guys, and the Australian Jasper Stubbs, who probably is quite a long way short of the standard of a Christo Lamprecht, who won the Georgia Cup on Sunday. He beat Nick Dunlap. I don't know what the rules of that event are. Obviously, the fact that Dunlap has turned professional didn't mean he couldn't play. To go and beat a PGA Tour winner, you know, it's got to be a nice little fillip. And obviously, he led the Open last year. So he's been in a major. And the final thing in his favour, he goes to Georgia Tech and he's played Augusta. So it's not like he's going to walk through the gates and think, oh my God, I'm in heaven. He's been there. So I thought like he should probably be about the same price as Sargent was last year. Maybe the fact that Sargent was so awful has put people off a little bit. But I think Lamprecht can make up for that. And a final one. Top debutant, not a market I was initially interested in because, as Dave's mentioned, Åberg should play well, Wyndham Clark. I mean, has there ever been two stronger debutants? Maybe not, I don't know. But Eric Cole is a big price and I'm happy to back him. Few little reasons, but mainly I think he's just a bit underrated because he played badly last week and I think he'll like the course. His iron plays good. He was 10th at Riviera. And yeah, he's just a bit better than I think than 20-1 suggests in that market. There's only 20 players. If we go back a month and a half, he was about 28-1 to win a tournament. So to beat 19 players, I think 20-1 is a good bet.
Good stuff. Love it. And a little interesting one as well. A LIV winner, 11-4 on the Betfair Exchange. A LIV winner at this year's Masters. So
I've got some as well, Sarah. I've got a few.
Yeah.
To whisk through mine. Patrick Reed for a top 10. Even though I said that I'm not so sure about LIV players, but his Augusta form is superb. He won in 2018. He's got four top 10s in the last 6 years. He's 5-1 for another top 10. Patrick Reed, I think he can cope with that. An interesting one is in the odds on that section, if you look at that kind of specials. Scheffler and McIlroy, both top 10 at 15-8. I think Scheffler you can absolutely pencil in automatically. And McIlroy, as long as he gets off to a reasonable start. I mean, he's been a bit feast or famine here in the last 4 years, a couple of miscuts in second and fifth. But as long as he starts reasonably and doesn't kind of go five over after about eight holes and kind of goes, oh, no, I think McIlroy can easily get into the top 10. He's had loads of them. So 15-8 for Scheffler and McIlroy top 10. And a final one, a bit of a fun bet, but it's kind of, you've got the numbers on your side as well. A hole in one at 16. Now you see that mostly, don't you, on the final day when the flag's down the bottom and they just kind of aim up on the top and let it run down. There's been six times that bet would have landed in the last 8 years, and it's 7-10. So I know you're still backing odds on shot, but it should be a lot more odds on than that. I just think it's kind of a fun bet anyway, isn't it, for that. And I think you do, if you look at holes in one, 16, it does dominate. It's by far the easiest to ace. So I think it's worthwhile to specify it to that hole. So yeah, it's part of the Sunday entertainment, isn't it, when you watch someone trying to get a hole in one on the 16th, because they kind of set it up to do so. So another fun way to enjoy, for me, what is the best tournament of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff, Dave. Love it. And just a reminder, we're just about out of time. Been a really good pod. Some great selections. And Dave, just remind listeners, so Hideki's your pick?
Hideki's my trends pick. I'm hoping, I think Scheffler probably will win, but there's reason to pick him off. Matsuyama, the trends pick. And then my other outrights that I've done are Zalatoris each way at 25s, Henley each way at 55s. And then Adam Hadwin as a massive outsider at 200s.
Perfect. And Ben, just a quick reminder for listeners of your top selections for this week.
This is no good unless they're watching the video, but I've got my golfer beer mats ready and I'm only using the ones. It's, what's that called? You know, think it and it will happen. I heard that on a podcast the other day. Don't think it's true, because surely loads of people are thinking I'm going to win the Masters and only one person can. But there we are. I will be cheering them on through the medium of golf beer mats. I hope Rory wins it. I could have said that every year for a decade. We've not mentioned Justin Thomas, which is a fabulous thing for me. I think Rahm is the standout value, win only on the exchange. I think John Rahm has been underestimated here. I like Spieth, Neiman, Lowry, Finau and Siwoo Kim. And as I said, the massive South African to be the top amateur would probably be my bet of the week, actually, if you can still get bigger than 2-1.
Excellent stuff. And just a reminder, we're paying 8, 10 or 12 places this year on those each way bets. So you choose how many places, with those prices changing accordingly. And the exchange, that's the home of best value and in-play prices and the place for your in-play betting for this year's Masters. Don't forget, please do gamble responsibly. Enjoy it. The first major of the year at Augusta National. It's going to be a cracker. Big thanks to Dave and Ben. Fantastic stuff as always. Yep, we'll see you both soon. We'll see you all soon. But enjoy the year's first major. Bye for now.